Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 14 through 28. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove the leaven out of your house. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread." Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did." Thus far, God's word.
As Americans, we are a busy people. Between work, our families, and church, our schedules are chock full of responsibilities, chores, and events. It feels times, there's simply not enough time for everything. Also, we so easily get bombarded by technology as we routinely use our phones, our televisions, our computers, our radios, and it can become difficult to distinguish what information is truly valuable. As busy as we are week after week, and as much information comes at us day after day, if we do not intentionally attempt to counteract such cultural forces, we have to be careful that we don't forget what is most important. This morning we want to see that God understood the potential for the people of Israel to fall victim to such forgetfulness. As we know, the people of Israel have been enslaved in Egypt, suffering under the brutal hand of Pharaoh. However, God has acted in their behalf, working signs and wonders through Moses and Aaron. The Lord has increasingly demonstrated his supremacy over Egypt with each successive plague. And as we saw last time, we were in Exodus, that the final plague, the death of every firstborn, man and beast, throughout all of Egypt, was to claim ultimate victory. And again, as we saw last time, the Lord revealed to the people of Israel how they were going to be delivered from the ultimate judgment upon Egypt. They were to be delivered through the blood of a lamb. The people of Israel are soon to leave Egypt, to no longer be slaves of Pharaoh. However, God designed for them to remember, to always remember his deliverance. Long after they had left Egypt and entered the promised land, God desired for them to remember how he had delivered them out of bondage. He wanted them to remember what was most important. That is, what he had done for them. He wants us to do the same. Let us hear and consider this morning how we can remember the grace of God. So as we turn once again to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, we're going to be focusing on verse 14 this morning. Let's see, first of all, that we are called to remember. We are called to remember. The people of Israel were called to remember what God had accomplished for them through the Exodus. Having laid out the instructions for deliverance in verses 3 through 13, such things as gathering in their father's houses, killing a lamb without blemish, applying the blood of the lamb to the doorposts and lintel, we read in verse 14, "This day shall be for you a memorial day." A memorial of any kind has to do with commemorating a significant event for the purpose of a remembrance. The Lord called the people of Israel to commemorate the Exodus, specifically the Passover, for the purpose of remembering what he had done for them. This significant event was to be memorialized with a feast, a festival. As we see in verse 14, it tells us with a day. This day shall be for you a memorial day. The people of Israel were called to remember. The way that the people of Israel to remember the Exodus was through reenacting the Passover meal each year. We can see as we once again that the Lord gave specific instructions concerning the meal. We read in verses 12, verses 8 through 11. "They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head, with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." The Passover meal was designed to be a demonstration of and a benefit to the participants' faith. Everything about the meal, what was eaten, meat, unleavened bread and bitter herbs. How it was prepared, roasted, not boiled, no leftovers. And the manner with which it was consumed, belt fastened, sandals on, staff in hand, pointed to the imminent departure of the people of Israel. To be ready to get up and go at any moment was required. And we can imagine that to be ready and willing to get up and go at any moment from a place that your people have been for 430 years. A place in which you were still enslaved would have required you to have faith in the promises of the Lord. To eat the meal in the prescribed manner was to demonstrate faith in God's promise of deliverance. Do you remember the promise the Lord made back in chapter 6, verse 6? There he says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great acts of judgment. While the people did not listen or believe the promise at the time, we can imagine that as they witnessed each successive plague, that their hearts began to soften, to see how God was working on their behalf. And now they were called to demonstrate their faith in God's promise through eating the Passover meal. Would they believe the promise? The Passover meal rested upon, operated upon, believing the promises of God. The Passover meal being very much an exercise of faith points to how it was a symbolic meal. Once again, considering the various aspects of the meal, the Passover, as commentator Doug Stewart says, was more a meal of religious observance than a meal to provide sustenance. For example, if you think about it, it was more important that everyone eat some of the meat and there'd be no meat left over, then everyone walk away sufficiently filled by the meat, or there be some meat to save for the future. The meal was symbolic, not typical. It's similar, you just think, it's similar to considering some little piece of bread or cracker and a few ounces of grape juice, a supper. The design of the Passover was as a symbolic meal that confirmed the faith of the people of Israel and the promises of God. This was not only true for those who would experience the actual event, but for all those who would reenact it as a memorial hereafter. So going forward, the people of Israel were to observe the Passover as part of the annual seven-day feast of unleavened bread. We can see this explained in verses 15 through 20. Believe that the Passover was part of the holy assembly, perhaps mentioned in verse 16. However, as you may well have noticed, that this feast is primarily identified with the eating of unleavened bread. We have to understand that the people of Israel would not normally eat unleavened bread. Bread without yeast that was a consistency of a cracker. In fact, unleavened bread was the most unique element of the Passover meal, more so than roasted lamb or even bitter herbs. It was very unique, not normal. Therefore, when the people would eat it during the feast, especially for 7 straight days, it would help them to recall the original events of the Passover, what had happened, the events of the Exodus. They were never to forget what God had done that last night in Egypt. This is why God had established the Passover as a memorial day within the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were to remember the Exodus, and their faith was to be confirmed and strengthened in and upon the promises of their faithful God. He had delivered them in the past. Then they knew that he was faithful to his promises. The people of Israel were called to remember. As the people of Israel were to leave Egypt, wander in the wilderness, and enter, eventually settle in the promised land, such remembrance was to be essential to their identity as the people of God. It's no different for us. We are called to remember as well. We have been called to memorialize what God has done in Jesus Christ. Luke 22:19 says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We are never to forget what Jesus accomplished in Jerusalem that dark afternoon. This is why God has established a new symbolic meal, the Lord's Supper, within the practice of the church. When we eat and drink our symbolic meal, we remember Jesus Christ, and our faith is confirmed and strengthened in and upon the promises of our faithful God. As we walk as pilgrims through this present age, such remembrance is essential to our identity as the people of God. We are called to remember. We've seen so far that we're called to remember, whether for the people of Israel or for us, God has always established a symbolic meal to help us to remember what he has done for us. What God has done is essential to our identity. This is why let us look further how we celebrate the Lord. We celebrate the Lord. The people of Israel celebrated the Lord whenever they reenacted the Passover meal during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We look once again at Exodus 12:14. And we read, "And you shall keep it," it referring to the memorial day, the feast, so you should keep it as a feast to the Lord. The solemn religious ceremony was performed to the Lord. The people of Israel were to observe it, as seen at the end of verse 14, as a statute. However, while definitely required, the celebration of the feast wasn't focused upon the actions of the people of Israel. Rather, it was celebrating all that the Lord had done in delivering them out of Egypt. The feast was to the Lord. The people of Israel would obediently observe it before him, but it was celebrating all that the Lord had done for them. The people of Israel celebrated the Lord. God's central role as the object of celebration can be seen in Exodus 12, 17. We read there, "And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for because on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt." The actions of God were the grounds of the people's celebration. It was the Lord who had heard the groaning of the enslaved people of Israel. It was the Lord who had called and sent Moses and Aaron. It was the Lord who had worked signs and wonders against Pharaoh in Egypt. It was the Lord who had personally protected the people of Israel from the destroyer through the blood of the Passover lamb. The Lord had done it all. He had done it all for the people of Israel. This is important because once the people of Israel left the afflictions of Egypt in their rearview mirror, they would inevitably fall into the sinful practice of wanting to rely upon their own wisdom, their own possessions, their own strength. Therefore, the celebration of the Passover within the Feast of Unleavened Bread was an annual loving rebuke to the people of Israel that you are not my people, you are not God's people because of what you know, what you have, what you do. But God says, you are my people because what I have revealed to you, what I have given you, what I have done for you. The people of Israel would need a routine reminder that their special identity as the people of God was founded on God's grace alone. All that the Lord had did in bringing the people out of Egypt was undeserved. The people of Israel did not earn their deliverance. Nevertheless, the Lord did it all for them because of the previous covenant he established with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord had graciously promised Abraham and his descendants blessing, with the necessary gracious consequence being the Exodus. The Exodus was founded upon grace alone. The identity of the people of Israel was to be God's, founded, defined by God's grace alone. Listen to Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8. We read there, "For you are people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So the Passover, within the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was to be an annual reminder to the people of Israel that what was most important was not their wisdom, possessions, strength, but God's gracious choice. What was worthy of celebration was not their imperfect obedience, but God's gracious deliverance. The Lord invited the people of Israel to fully appreciate and enjoy all he had done for them. He welcomed them to remember his grace. Such an invitation has been given to us as well. The Lord welcomes us to remember his grace generally, all the time, but indeed specifically with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Similarly, the sacrament we perform, we do it to the Lord. We obediently observe it before him each month. But when we do, it's not about our actions, but it is celebrating all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We celebrate the Lord. This is just as important for us, if not more so, as was the Passover for the people of Israel. Does not each one of us know the sinful tendency to want to rely upon our own wisdom, possessions, and strength? We want to believe that in some way we can earn favor with God. Even as Christians, our sinful hearts yet yearn to be the stars of our lives. We want what is most important about us to be what we know, what we have, and what we can do. We want to boast in our accomplishments, whether that is even biblical knowledge or spiritual gifts or righteous activity. We want to celebrate not the Lord. Often we want to celebrate ourselves. This is why the Lord calls us to come to the table regularly. We need a loving rebuke. You are not my people because of what you know, or you have, or what you do, but because of what I've revealed to you, what I've given you, and what I've done for you. God calls us to come, remember, and celebrate what Christ has done for us in humbly becoming a man, righteously living a life, brutally suffering a death, and victoriously accomplishing a resurrection. Christ has done it all. He has done it all for us. We need a routine reminder, just like the people of Israel, that our special identity is founded on God's grace alone. All that God has done for us is undeserved. No one earns God's favor. It is a gift. Listen to the words of Luke 22:19 again. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In Jesus Christ giving himself on the cross, he has given us salvation. His body is given for us. Again, generally, we are invited to remember this. But specifically, whenever we eat and drink as part of the Lord's Supper, God invites us to come and fully appreciate and enjoy all that He has done for us. He welcomes us to remember His grace. Do you know this grace? Have you ever known this grace? Are you, or have you forgotten that God does not call you to earn His favor? Are you, or are you once again relying upon your own awareness, your own abilities or accomplishments before God? Come and remember and celebrate all that He has given you. Rejoice in all that Jesus Christ has done for you. And may your faith be confirmed and strengthened in and upon the promises of our faithful God. For by grace you have been saved. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We celebrate the Lord. We've seen, so the people of God, we are called to remember through the celebration of a symbolic meal. And what we celebrate is what the Lord has done for us. We celebrate the Lord. Finally, let us see that we do so from generation to generation. We do so from generation to generation. The people of Israel were to do so once again, long after they had left Egypt, wandered in the wilderness, and entered the promised land. They were to celebrate what the Lord had done for them, generation after generation. We read one last time in Exodus 12:14. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. The Passover, within the celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was to be an opportunity for the people of Israel to instruct the coming generations about what God had done for them. The essential aspect of the identity of the people of God was not going to change. God's gracious deliverance was always going to be what was most important. The coming generations would need to learn this, and therefore this is why the people of Israel were commanded to perpetually celebrate the feast. The people of Israel did so from generation to generation. The long-term intergenerational purpose of the Passover celebration, we can see later on in chapter 12. If we begin reading in verse 24, "You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as He has promised, you shall keep this service." So those who would be born in generations to come, who would be born in the promised land, would be instructed about what was most important about the people of Israel. And that is what the Lord had done for them in the Exodus. And this instruction would take place through the celebration of the Passover. We continue to read in verse 26. And when your children say to you, "What do you mean by this service?" you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses." The people of Israel were spared from the wrath of the Lord. They were spared through a sacrifice. The Lord had provided a substitute with the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Generation after generation of the people of Israel were to be taught that what was most important about them is what the Lord had done for them. Namely, he had provided them a substitute. It was this truth that they were to learn and be reminded of with the celebration of the Passover year after year. This necessary intergenerational practice is reiterated in the 13th chapter of Exodus. In the 13th chapter, having laid out again the command to observe the festival in verses 3 through 7, we read in verse 8, this is chapter 13. It says, "You shall tell your son on that day." This is the day of when they're celebrating the festival, the feast. "You shall tell your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'" The celebration of the Passover within the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to promote an indelible remembrance among each generation. Such remembrance of what God had done for them was the basis for each generation to consider their own responsibility of being in covenant with the Lord. There's a scene as we continue to read in verse 9. Once again, this is chapter 13. We read there, verse 9, "And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, an indelible remembrance, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth." The law of the Lord refers to the covenant that was to be established at Mount Sinai later on in chapter 19. The covenant to be established at Mount Sinai would certainly call for the people of Israel to obey commands. However, let us not miss that their consideration and upholding of such responsibilities, the law of the Lord being in their mouth, was always to be undertaken within the larger context of God's gracious deliverance. We can see this with the Ten Commandments. How does the Lord preface his commands? Later on in Exodus 20, verse 2, we read, this is how, before he lays out the commands, he says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." What the people of Israel were called to do was given in the context of what the Lord had already graciously done for them. And this is seen back in chapter 13, verse 9 as well. "The law of the Lord should be in your mouth, for, because, with a strong hand the Lord has, it is done, it is finished, has brought you out of Egypt." Obedience has always flowed from grace. Grace has never been squeezed out of obedience. This has always been true and will always be true. Nevertheless, it is a truth that fallen sinning creatures so easily forget. This is why the Lord designed for each generation to be taught it and to be reminded of it. The Passover within the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to be an annual, visible reminder to the people of Israel of the grace of God, that the grace of God was the foundation of everything. Generation from generation to generation, they were to remember the grace of God. As Christians, the necessity to instruct each generation remains, specifically teaching them and reminding them of the truth that obedience has never preceded grace. Often children and young people and unbelievers, for that matter, conceive of the Christian life as a set of rules, especially focusing upon those things that we're not allowed to do. Therefore, we need to instruct them that, yes, Christians obey commands, but only and always because of what God has done and through what God has done, already done for us. This is a reminder we all need regularly. Any one of us is capable of allowing God's deliverance and His demands to become disordered. This is one of the reasons, just like the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, God has instructed us to regularly observe the Lord's Supper. We need a routine, a visible reminder that the grace of God is primary. From generation to generation, we need to remember the grace of God. We've seen this morning that we are called to remember the grace of God, that we are to celebrate the Lord, and how we are to do so from generation to generation. Even though we will not celebrate the Lord's Supper today, and not till next week or maybe after that, I pray that when we do, we will be reminded of what is most important, what God has done for us. That I hope and pray we will remember the grace of God. The grace of God, this truth is what is most important. Amid our hectic schedules and information-laden brains or minds, it is a struggle to distinguish and retain what is truly valuable. If we are not careful, our ease of information and our addiction to activity will lead us to forget what is most important, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. For this reason, let us appreciate every opportunity that we have to come, remember, and celebrate God's gracious salvation. Jesus Christ has done it all. He has done it all for us. Listen to Jesus' words to his disciples from Luke 22:19 one last time. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We are invited to stop, recognize, and enjoy all that Christ has done for us. We are invited to remember his grace. Let us remember the grace.